and other information about keeping those sweet green babies alive. What's up, y'all? I'm really excited for this episode. I had a great conversation with Reba, who owns Virgil's Plant Shop. Make sure you go and check out their Instagram at Virgil's Plant Shop, their website, www.virgilsplantshop.com. And a special shout out at the beginning of the episode here. Make sure second to last week of March, you head over to their Troost location so that you can snatch up some plants on sale as she prepares to move. You'll hear all about her move and the plans for that move in the episode, but help her out, lighten her load, go buy all her plants. She's also got merchandise from local artists that are plant-inspired pieces, so go buy everything so she has a very easy time moving. All right, sit back, relax, and enjoy as we have a conversation about Reba's sort of path to opening a plant business. Alrighty. So go ahead and tell us your name. We'll start there.
Yeah. My name is Reba. I am the owner of Virgil's Plant Shop here in Kansas City, Missouri.
Awesome. Okay. And I have been to your shop a couple times. Are y'all moving soon, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know which version of the shop you've been to, because we've had a few at this point.
Yeah, the one off Troost, I think, is the one I've been to, and occasionally the bus is parked there. But I'm excited for the move, because if it's what I think it is, it's literally down the street from me.
Awesome. Yeah, we're going to be moving over to 28th and Cherry.
Yes.
Yeah, so okay, cool. I'm very pumped about that. It's going to be about 5 times the size of our current space. So I'm going to be able to do a whole lot. I've been working with tiny spaces since I started doing this. So I'm just really excited to be able to spread out a little bit, have more than 2 people out in the store at a time.
Right.
So very cool. Yeah, really great. I've got a lot of big plans for that new space.
Awesome. Yeah, I've seen the storefront, and like I said, I live just down the street from it. They've put in all those nice windows and like expanded the front of the shop out and stuff. So it looks like it'll be a really cool space for especially a plant business. But
yeah, and what's cool is the vintage shop next to us right now, Peaches Vintage, is moving alongside with us. So there's storefronts in that building, so 2 separate entrances, but there's a door that is shared in the middle, so people can walk back and forth between the two. And it was kind of a hard decision which side to take, because one side has like windows on both the west and the south, and it's like this beautiful corner space of windows. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this would be amazing for so much light for the plants. This would be incredible. But it's like much smaller than the other side.
It only
has those west facing, but it's floor to ceiling. Like the entire front is like great windows, but it's almost twice the size on my side. I'm the one that doesn't have the south facing windows. And I was like, well, I'm not trying to move again. So
you'll have to get
a big enough space.
You're right. You just end up having to upgrade again. So I got you.
Yeah. Well, the plan was I wanted somewhere that I could physically pull the bus into it and have the bus part of the shop, and like people could go onto it, and then I could take it out for special events. But when I found this space, they just put the windows in like the week prior. And I was like, is there any chance that we could build out like a garage for this? And he was like, if I had met you 1 week ago, I would have done that.
Oh, no. Oh, man. So, that would have been perfection. Too bad.
I know.
But maybe in the next move, if you move again.
Well, we'll be here for at least 3 years. So.
Oh, very exciting. Okay, cool. So before we talk more business things, and I do want to get to that, but I want to talk to you a little bit about your personal relationship to plants and sort of how you got to a point of choosing to open a business with plants. So with that being said, when did your exploration of houseplants start and why?
Yeah. So when I was 19, I moved to the Pacific Northwest. I moved to Portland, Oregon. I went to college out there, ran around, went camping, had just a great time. But I had grown up with parents that had like 2 plastic pothos plants on a mantle, and that was it. So that was all I really spent around plants when I was growing up. And being from the Midwest, you don't have a very lush environment around. So I remember when I first went there, I went on a hike and there were just like ferns everywhere. And it just blew my mind. It was just such a beautiful landscape. I loved it. And I just wanted to be in it all the time, which is a big reason why I moved up there. And so as I was living there, I lived in like a basement room in a house and had like two tiny little windows, but I tried to have like a couple little plants. And then I moved to New York and I had a tiny little Brooklyn apartment, but I started getting more and more plants, more plant lights. And I just like had all these different plants hanging around me that I didn't have any idea really what I was doing, but it was really fun trying. And so I just started collecting more and more, except something that I always found really frustrating is when I went to plant shops, you'd buy a plant and then it's just a transaction. They'd be like, oh, it's $25. You give them $25 and you leave. You have no idea how to take care of it. So then you get home and then it dies within a month and you try again, you know, you try something else. And it's really hard looking up any information about plants when you don't really know too much about them. You don't know what to search for.
For sure. I knew that was going to happen. So my dogs are going to bark at some point, but
that's okay. My dog's in here too. So yeah, I don't know. I remember I had a fish hook string of bananas that was hanging in my room and I went out of town for 2 weeks. And also it was not getting nearly enough light. I had like two tiny north facing windows. It was on the other side of the wall hanging. So I was getting no light at all. But it was still alive for a little while. And I went out of town for 2 weeks and I asked my roommate, I was like, can you please water my plants? Just don't water this one. This like string of bananas. I was like, water all of them, but this one. I came back 2 weeks later and it was as dead as possible. I was like, oh, how did you kill this one? You didn't have to touch it. She was like, oh, I didn't want to kill it. So I watered it every day for you.
Oh no.
That's the opposite.
Oh, gross. It was real yellow and mushy and
yeah,
just ruined.
But the first plant I ever got that kind of just started me down was one of my really good friends who's his great-great-grandma's aloe plant that had been passed down through his family over and over again, either through pops or just from like the big mother plant. And he had I'd say probably like 50 in this one pot. And he like took one out, gave it to me. It was really ceremonial. And
I love that.
I take care of this one. So that one I did keep alive for a long time. And I finally gave it to another one of my friends before I moved away. But that kind of started me down of just trying to figure it out. It just became really fun trying to figure out how to keep these things alive when I had basically nothing that they actually needed naturally in my apartment.
Right.
And, you know, as you're getting into plants, you leave a graveyard of plants behind. And so I killed many plants. But then, you know, each time you kind of figure out a little bit more, okay, that was wrong. So I'm going to try something else. And sometimes when they're like on the brink of death and you bring them back, it just feels like the most amazing success.
Yes, absolutely. I've got one I'm nursing right now. And my friend was sort of killing it and it's starting to make a recovery. But then some of my others are having a hard time this winter. So I've got like a success and some failures around me at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that's important. You have to mix it in.
That's right. So you mentioned a couple moves. Did you bring your plants with you in those moves? And what is that like moving with a collection?
So I didn't bring any when I moved from Portland to New York, mostly because I went on like a month-long road trip to get to New York. So I just had like my dog, my boyfriend at the time, and like all of our stuff piled on top of my tiny little car. So I had no plants with me then. But I'd say the move that I actually took all of the plants this time, because usually I would just get rid of everything that I had, plants, clothes, everything.
Yeah.
But when I moved back here from living in New York, I gave a lot of plants away, but then I think I piled my dog and probably like 12 plants in my car. I had like a giant saloon that was like on the floorboard that was touching the ceiling. And my mom had flown up to New York to drive back with me. I'd gotten all my stuff shipped and then just the plants and the dog and just some of the things that I needed in the car. And we took 3 days to get back. So we stayed in hotels and it was in the middle of December too. So it was cold. I'm like wrapping blankets around these plants, putting it on the like hotel cart and rushing it inside.
That's incredible.
The hotel room with all my plants each time. I would say 3 of those plants fully survived. The rest of them I had to take cuttings from and they live on through that. But
nice.
Yeah, They did not do well. And a December move cross country is not ideal for tropical plants.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, mine are struggling just in the apartment right now. So I feel that. I loved also you mentioning like the ceremonial handing down of the like aloe. In my last episode, I talked a little bit with her about that, but she like inherited this old plant from her master gardener mentor. Do you have any other plants that are sort of like handed down to you from like generational plants, or is that aloe vera the main one that you've got?
I got a cutting from my grandma of her Christmas cactus. But I would say other than that, my family is not big into plants. And in fact, I was down in my dad's office a couple months ago, and I've had the plant shop open for like a year and a half or so at this point, almost 2 years. And I went down into his office and he had the worst looking plastic plants down there. And he's got a ton of like windows in that office too. And it was like, it looked like a broomstick with like this like weird leaves on it that were like kind of a ficus, but not really. Dad, if you wanted plants down here, I can get you plants. Like what?
Right. He's got the hookup.
Yeah. But no, I haven't really gotten too many. I've definitely taken cuttings from many friends of things that I really loved. But I would say that one was the most meaningful to me, that aloe, that was one of my good friend's great grandma's. I would love to get some more plants from people that were passed down in lineage, but it always feels like such a great responsibility too. You're like, I cannot kill this.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely the weight of like generations of care on there. Yeah. My family is not plant savvy at all. Like I got them, I think their first houseplant they've had in, I don't, maybe ever, for Christmas, just like a little snake plant. I'm like, it's going to be hard to kill this. Just like ignore it and water it occasionally. And it's probably dead by now, but we'll see. But I'm hoping to start that if and when I have children, to pass on some of mine, if I can keep them all alive. So,
yeah. What would be your favorite one to pass down?
Oh man. That's a great question. As I look around, let's see. I'm really happy with my Monstera deliciosa right now. So, I mean, if that thing could just get massive, I would love to give that to one of my offspring someday. But I've also got like,
they would probably be like, what do I do with this, Dad? I know. That I need an entire room for.
maybe a jade cutting then, because like it's one of my like the first plants I ever got was this jade from the farmer's market, and it's been through it just last spring. It like dropped all of its leaves for some reason. It got like root rot or something, and I repotted it, and it's now on the mend. It's finally recovering, but just the sentimental value of like, this was my first foray into plants. That would be cool to give them a few successful cuttings of that. But
I just found scale on my giant jade.
Is yours? Well, first of all, I'm sorry to hear that. but have you cultivated yours into like a nice tree shape?
So actually, I mean, I have a couple. I don't think I've ever actually bought or brought home a jade. I've had them given to me at different times. So I have a few different people's jade plants, but this one woman that lived near the shop, she had shot me an email online and was just like, hey, I have a couple plants that I don't want to keep. I don't want to bring them inside. It was coming to the end of summer. She's like, would you be interested in taking these off my hands? And I was like, oh, I'll definitely come take a look. Like, sure, maybe. And so I showed up and it was like a 45-year-old jade plant.
It's whoa.
Like, it's gorgeous. It's huge. It's like 4 feet tall, just so like woody and stemmy. It's beautiful. That's that one. And then I also have like a 5 foot tall pencil cactus that she also gave me.
Oh, that's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm pretty pumped about those two.
That's gorgeous. Wow.
But I feel like I really need to keep them alive, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked because my jade is like kind of a sprawling mess. I never cultivated it the right way. So it's just kind of like drooping. But
I mean, there's something cool about that too, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm experimenting. I've taken a few cuttings. I've got them rooted and I'm going to try to cultivate them up into a beautiful shape. We'll see. That's my next foray into trying that. But we can, let's see, I'm not sure exactly how far in, I didn't set a timer, but as far as the business goes, how long ago did you start it, and what, and kind of at what point did your personal collection interest transition into like, I want to make a business out of this?
Mm. Yeah. So when I was living in New York, really my whole life, I've wanted to open up some kind of small business. I wanted to either do like a coffee shop or like a used bookstore. At a certain point, I wanted to do a used bookstore and I had like 2,000 books in my apartment.
Wow. Okay.
But I slowly moved away from that. But while I was there getting more into plants and going to a lot of plant stores, I really loved just the feel of it and the community around it. And so I was thinking more and more, it's like, you know, I feel like this is something that I would love to do and just try and expand not only my knowledge, but also like other people that might be plant novices' knowledge. And so I decided I would try and move back to Kansas City and open up a little plant shop. So I moved back here in December 2018.
Okay.
And then just kind of like immediately kind of moved in with my folks and started working on all of this. I took like different classes that I had, like entrepreneurial classes, different business classes. And I had planned on opening like a cafe plant shop to where there'd be like a plant shop in the front, a little cafe in the back with like beer and wine and tea and coffee. But I've worked in the service industry for like 16 years and I realized I did not want to do that anymore.
I don't blame you. I've dipped my toes in the service industry and it's brutal. So
yeah. And especially if I was doing coffee and booze, it'd be there from like 5 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Right.
And I was planning on doing all of this just myself. So I was like, this is just not feasible. I just can't do this. So I was thinking about it more and more. I was still planning on doing like a full storefront, but getting back, I realized I'd been gone for 10 years. And even though I come back to visit, I didn't really know the community as well anymore. So I moved back and was thinking a really great way to re-immerse myself in the community and just kind of also get my name out there is doing a mobile business. So I hadn't even really thought about doing a mobile business until I was here. And then I started thinking about it. I was thinking about getting like a step van or box truck or just some kind of van. And then I was looking at school buses and I was like, well, this would be really cute. I think people would have like this nice nostalgia for school buses and just like really Instagrammable, of course, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So I ended up getting a bus and flew one of my friends out from San Francisco and we just gutted it and converted it in my parents' barn out south and
nice.
Got it all together. So it took us about, I mean, we knocked it out pretty quick. We did it in like probably 3 weeks from yellow school bus to plant bus. And my opening day was July 12th of 2019.
Okay.
So I did my first pop-up down in the West Bottoms. The whole event, I had gotten some beer donated from Brewery Imperial. I had a couple of my other friends pop up that did the ceramics and jewelry. And it was so hot that day. It was like 105 degrees out and just like sitting in the direct sun. But my plan was I'd also bought like a projector and like a white sheet and I was going to hang it on the side of the bus and project a little Shop of Horrors once the sun
was down. Very fitting. But cool.
No one was still there when the sun was down.
Everyone's like, I'm out of here. It's too hot for this.
Yeah, I mean, it also had been going on all day. So then we just like, we started to set it up and there was no one there. So then we just like sat around and had a beer and just cheers and hung out.
Awesome. Very cool.
But, yeah.
And so you really just barely kicked it off, like, I don't know, a couple months before everything kind of hit the fan with COVID stuff.
Well, I had definitely that late summer and spring or late summer, fall, and I was still doing pop-ups like because it was a fairly temperate fall and early winter last year. Very unlike right now.
Very unlike right now. Gosh.
And so I was able to still do pop-ups pretty like into December.
Okay.
I had a space heater that I plugged in and as long as everything was like closed up for the most part, it stayed warm enough.
Yeah.
And I mostly tried to do like hardier plants if I was transporting them in and out and just like packaged them up well for people. But come end of December, I was like, okay, well, obviously this is a seasonal thing. I didn't have any storefront lined up yet. I figured I'd just start doing pop-ups again in spring. And then I got put in touch with Kate from Seven Swans Crepery. And she was opening up. She had done a mobile business for years, and she had just gotten her first storefront over on 18th and Washington, but there was like a mini storefront in the back. I don't know if you ended up coming to that location, but
I had never been to that look. I've only been to Seven Swans once, but you weren't there any longer.
Yeah, it was very tiny. It was probably the size of the bus, but in a room.
Did you provide a lot of the little plants that are in Seven Swans by chance?
Some of them. She had already had a bunch of them that she put up there.
Gotcha.
I think maybe like four. Cool. Are from me. Yeah. But she wanted to do like a rotating boutique back there, so like different businesses could be in there. And so we'd gotten in touch, and she was like, well, I feel like this could work out really well because you're a mobile seasonal business, so having a storefront for January, February, March would be perfect. So it did work out great. And I was there for January, February, and then March hit and everything shut down. But I was already closing at the end of March. And at the beginning of March, it kind of just fell in my lap that the space that I'm in now was looking for a tenant. So I'd gotten in touch with Laura at Inner Space, and it worked out perfectly. And she's like, yeah, I'd love to have you starting April. So each move has been like a really smooth transition into each new space. And my lease at this space is up in April, and I found the 28th and Cherry spot that'll start April 1st. So each one is just, I've tried to intentionally take really small steps for each new part of the business to expand slowly, just because I don't have the time or business savvy to start right in and get like this huge space and then feel over my head. I wanted to like know that I was sure-footed about each new step and felt like I could really take that on. And I feel like I've done that pretty well.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like a very natural, well-intentioned, thought-out progression. So that's cool. So I have to ask the name. Who is Virgil?
Bert,
come here. Oh, is it the dog?
Hey, buddy.
There he is, Virgil.
Hi, George.
Okay, since this is an audio medium, this is a gorgeous black dog of an undetermined breed.
He's a border collie boxer mix.
Border collie boxer, got it.
Mm-hmm. He's about 9 years old.
Oh, what an old man.
Yeah. I often get asked if I'm Virgil.
I assumed not, but Virgil's a, why did you name your dog Virgil?
I really wanted some kind of like cowboy name for him. Okay. And so Virgil Earp is the brother of Wyatt Earp.
Okay.
And I really loved that. And also Virgil and Dante's Inferno. I don't know. I went to school as an English literature major, and I just really wanted to do something like that. And yeah, he's unfortunately way too high energy to have as a shop dog. I would love to have him at the shop dog. But
even at 9 years old, still too hype.
Oh my gosh. It's insane. Yeah. He's got a toy in his mouth right now. He has a stuffed cactus.
Oh, awesome. At me with. Yeah, that's great. I have a boxer mix myself, but he's a pit boxer, and he's a handful as well. So
yeah.
Like four, I think. So anyway, awesome. Well, what are like some of your plans for this next step as you move into the new storefront? Do you have any sort of new things you're trying to add to the business, or just kind of expand and get settled in? What are you thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next steps is I'm going to be building out a bunch of stuff inside of the space. And then I'm hoping to have, well, I am going to have a big educational area, not super big, but enough to be able to hold classes of hopefully about 8, and do different events where I can do educational classes. And so I'm thinking, I have a friend that's a sommelier, so I wanted to do like a dirt and drinks night.
Okay.
And just have some like wine tasting. We can pot some plants or do terrariums or staghorn mounting. I just want to get more of a community into the space, mm-hmm. when it's safe, of course, you know.
Right.
But something that I always really wanted to do is have just a space that people felt really comfortable coming into and just hanging out in, asking any questions that they wanted to. I'm definitely not the most knowledgeable person in the world, but I'm constantly trying to learn. So whenever people are asking me questions, if I don't know the answer, I'm writing it down and I'm doing all the research I can to find out and getting back to them.
Totally.
And I want to be able to have that kind of space where people just know that they can come in, hang out, and never feel stupid for asking, like, how do you water a cactus, you know, or
right.
whatever it is that they might want to know. So being able to have some classes that people can come and take, just fun community spaces, having music, like some live jazz trios or something play, and just during the summer where we can be outside as well. It's not a super busy street, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we could close it off, have like little block parties here and there. But I just wanted to be a really inclusive, fun space. So that's really the big plan with that. I like have some fun stuff. I'm gonna try to put in like a little greenhouse inside of there. So I have that. I've got some fun furniture that I'm going to be putting in. I've got my contractor is going to be fabricating some really fun stuff for the front of the store. So all in all, I think it'll just be a really fun space to be in. All right, that's what I'm hoping for. And so you've seen, since you've been in the True Spot, the like peacock chair plant throne.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the plans for that, hopefully it works out. But, you know, if you spend $50 or more, you get to take a Polaroid in the plant throne is the whole thing.
Okay. And that's easy to do with plant stuff. So
I know. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is have that underneath and like some really kitschy like 50s display. And then I'm hoping to build like a little tiki roof over the top of it. Some like vintage windows hanging on the side and just have like a whole kind of installation inside of there. That'll be really fun.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I love the classes and community aspect. Like you had mentioned at the very beginning of our talk, the whole struggle of trying to get into plants and leaving a graveyard behind and not having really any idea how to do it. So that's cool that you want to try to provide opportunity for people who are like just getting into it to figure out how to care for their plants and things like that. That's cool.
Well, and particularly during this time, so many people being at home have really gotten into plants.
Yeah.
And it is like this weird thing. Once you get a couple, you just want to keep buying more and more and more.
Yes.
But then you end up finding yourself completely ill-equipped to take care of these things. And you have so many of them and you just don't know. And you don't know how to look it up and you don't know what to ask.
Right.
So being able to provide some sort of just like basics of how do you repot? When do you repot? How do you water? How much do you water? What kind of pots do you want to look for? Like anything, like how to kind of take a guess at how much sun it might need. Just any of those things. I feel like just being able to provide the basics to people of understanding is really helpful.
Yeah, that's huge. I have a good friend of mine and her friend started in like August collecting plants. And she's like, I don't know her friend very well. So I only hear of her through my friend here, but, since August, she has like close to 100 different plants now. And I'm like, some of those are just going to die. Like there's no way you can be on top of all the different needs for all those plants. And so, I hope she's, you know, I don't know her at all, but I'm sure she's doing her research and figuring all that out. But I personally am like, I think I have like coming up on 40 and like, that's more than enough to like, for me to struggle between their separate needs and trying to not change multiple factors at once as like, okay, this thing's yellowing. I'm going to move it here and water it and do this, like just control it and move it one at a time. So I love that. I think that's what drove honestly, a lot of this podcast was like, some friends of mine, and like you said, I'm by no means an expert. I just got into it and did a little bit of research and trying to survive what I've purchased. But I had friends asking me like, hey, this is going on with my plant. What do I need to do? And so I was like, well, I guess I'll just make a podcast talking about plants. I don't know. So
that's awesome. I mean, it is really important to think about when you are buying more plants, like, what do I actually have the capability of being able to take care of? Mm-hmm. So when you are buying more and more and more, if you aren't able to actually take care of them, then just like take a step back, you know?
Yeah.
So if I have the ability to in the morning, go around and water 50 plants, that's great. But once I get up to 100, is it just going to cause me anxiety? And then the plants aren't really making me happy anymore.
True.
They're all just dying.
Right.
So what's your level of competency that you can do?
or even just the tipping point of like, maybe you are keeping them alive, but now it's become this like this chore instead of the thing, you know, the peace bringing, right, like calm sort of hobby you like, mm-hmm, to invest your time in.
Yeah. I had a woman come in the other day that she told me like 6 months ago, she got her first plant and she has close to 400. And I didn't really believe her. I was like, oh, that's crazy. That seems like a lot. I thought she was exaggerating. And then she starts showing me pictures and she has set up every single room in her house with like IKEA shelves with like plants everywhere.
Oh my word.
It's like, wow, I am really impressed. And she's like really into it. And her husband called her while she was there. And he was like, where are you, honey? And she was like, I'm on my way.
Hiding. Yeah, like, totally. Where are you? She's like, not a plant store.
Not at a plant shop.
Oh my word. Yeah. I would be asking her like, is everything okay? Like why do you need 400? Wow.
Well, she got really into, she started collecting a lot more, buying a lot more like rare plants, taking cuttings and selling them. She got on the business side quick.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. I was impressed.
That's impressive. Yeah. More power to her. I don't, mm-hmm, I'm right at my threshold of enjoyment. I'm going to keep it there.
Right.
Yeah. But, do you all, I haven't been in a while and obviously you have plants. Do you also sell like planters, pots, soil, et cetera? What all do you have?
Yeah. So since it's such a small space, I've been very limited on really what I can carry. So one thing that I wanted the space to be is just filled with locally made items as well that are like plant related locally made items. I want to try and support as many local artists as possible. Mm-hmm. So I have two different ceramicists that I have pots in there, but it's not a ton. I usually have somewhere between like 10 and 20.
Okay.
I try and have a selection of terracotta, except there's a crazy plant or a pot shortage right now.
Yeah, they're gone everywhere.
Yeah. So that's been difficult. But then I also have like locally made macrame and these little plant huggy things that you hang on your wall, which is cute. Locally made propagation holders, anything that I can put in there that's locally made that I can support local artists. So people can come in, support a local shop and other local artists is important to me. I do also carry soil. I've got neem oil, just one kind of fertilizer and a few different kinds of soil from Fox Farm. Mm-hmm. Which I like a lot. So that's what I have now. Once I move into the new space, I've got a lot of new pots that'll be coming in. I'll actually be able to display a whole lot more. It's not going to feel so tight.
But, right. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So I won't keep you much longer, but do you know the approximate date for the new shop opening?
If everything
is according to plan.
Yeah. If everything goes right, we're hoping for our grand opening to be the first Saturday in April.
Okay.
More than likely that's going to be pushed back.
Yeah.
But that's what we were hoping for. So if everything gets built out, if all of the light fixtures come in time, if everything happens, if my contractor doesn't get COVID, you know, everything.
Right.
Hopefully everything goes okay. But that's the plan. So at least sometime in April, I'd say beginning to mid April is when to expect the opening. I'm going to be out of my current space the last week of March. I'm probably going to be totally closed. So okay. The second to last week, I'm going to try and do just like a sale all week to get rid of everything. Just like first day, 10% off, second day, 20% off, third day, 30% off, like something to just like clear it out, get your plants and then get in there.
That's awesome. Well, I'll have to, I'll post something on the Instagram at some point,
for
people that sale. So you said it was the like last week of March as you're preparing to close up shop.
Yeah. So that is the plan. I really hope that it can work out that way, but I'm trying to figure out how to do some kind of safe grand opening.
Right.
Where we can have people come. I'm figuring out maybe I can do like people can sign up for time slots where they'll say that they'll come during that time. But I was hoping to get like some food carts out, a mimosa table out, some live music, or maybe a DJ, but I don't know.
Who knows what's, yeah. Okay. Yeah. By that time, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, weird times. Yeah, we're by that point, I guess my school will be somehow, I don't understand, fully in person. They're transitioning back to bringing all the kids in and packing 30 kids in a room. And
wow,
breeds deep anxiety in me, but that's a whole nother conversation. So, I mean, as long as you're shooting for a better mark than that, then you're probably fine.
Yeah. I've tried really hard to keep it as safe as possible in there. Just like cleaning everything down, not allowing more than two people. It's just, I don't know. And I feel like I've gone into other, I rarely go out anywhere, but the couple of times that I have, I feel like other places aren't really trying to moderate how many people are entering. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I really wanted people to feel comfortable and safe coming into my shop, knowing that like it is as safe as I can make it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important, as long as you're making the effort. Cause that has been, like similarly, I don't go out much, but like my fiance and I recently changed, climbing gyms, because climbing gym we were going to didn't feel safe, didn't feel like they were taking it seriously. So we switched, and there's a very clear feeling of security when you can tell that an establishment is taking these things to heart and doing their best to make the patrons feel safe. So
yeah, that's great.
Okay. Well, as we wrap up, is there anything you would like people to know about you the next couple of weeks for you that you want to get out there or promote or anything like that?
I would say just kind of check out either, we also have like a newsletter that we send out, so you can sign up for that on our website, which gives you any bus pop-up updates. So come spring and summer, we're going to be out on the bus every weekend probably. So you can either find that out on our website under Find Our Vines. It'll have where the bus is going to be popped up for upcoming events. Or if you sign up for the newsletter, that'll come out usually about twice a month. And that'll have updates on that. That'll also just be general shop updates of what's going on in the new space, when we're going to be open, and usually features a couple of plants that you can learn about while you're at it. Yeah, just stay tuned for when we get into the new spot. And if you can, come by. Before then, we had to close down for the last week and part of this next week because of the cold, which is rough. And of course, happened right before Valentine's Day. So yeah, so if people can come out, support us, but also just like keep supporting plant shops everywhere. I feel like it's definitely a great community that has been built up, and it's really cool seeing more popping up in Kansas City. And I really love the community. It's such nice people for the most part, you know, like working in different service industry jobs, you get all sorts of like really mean people constantly.
Absolutely.
And it's been really refreshing and lovely just like seeing the outpouring of love and support from the plant community, of just trying to constantly support us. And like, I think that we've done really well this last year because of that, that people are intentionally trying to support these plant shops so they don't go out of business, so that they're still going to be here on the other side of it. And I think we've all benefited from that and really appreciate it.